miles and miles from your nice warm bed. You just remember what your old past said, or you got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend in me. You got a friend in me.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Network. That's the National Campus and Community Radio Association broadcast throughout Canada. Of course, we try to broadcast it throughout British Columbia because we showcase through BC self-advocacies and people with disabilities throughout British Columbia. I'm, of course, Kelly Rayburn. Along with me is my partner, my co-host, my friend now, Michael Rubin. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I know next week you will be off to Cambodia.
Yes, correct.
Doing a Habitat for Humanities again?
That is correct.
That sounds...
So I'm doing two projects. One is repairs, and the other one is a water pipeline or water facility. So those are the only two that I'm going to be doing.
Okay. Sounds like important work either way.
Yeah, you're talking about very important work.
Water, you know, that is the liquid of life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. Here's another, last week we were talking about autism and the launch of the fundraiser that Debbie is doing. So here's the Global News video that was on a few days ago. So I'll point it to that, and I'm just uploading that right now. So here's the clip of it.
That raising a child is a full-time job. Raising a child with autism is like another full-time job on top of that. So you might call these next three Metro Vancouver mothers super moms in a way. All three have children on the spectrum and jobs outside the home, but they've still found time to launch a special fundraising business.
You could actually put them on the back first.
They are three moms who share a deep bond. Each has a little boy with autism.
Tricia was my support person that I went to, and we met through a common friend. And then I met Carrie through Trish, and we came together, and instantly we clicked.
Now they're linked together as fundraisers. When not managing busy careers and juggling autism therapies, they're making necklaces.
I've had a lot of friends in BC and Alberta text me a photo of them wearing it, or I bought mine, or I'm getting mine today. I've had so much family that I haven't talked to in a while, or friends that I haven't seen, and social media, I really can't believe how much of a part it's played in this, because it has been huge.
Proceeds are going to the $28 million Pacific Autism Family Center being built in Richmond, a hub for research, assessment, intervention, and support.
When we learned of the center and started to become part of that, we realized that we wanted to help, and we wanted to create some awareness not only about autism itself and how it impacts us and our families, but also awareness about the center.
Just $25, the sterling silver necklaces are being sold at 73 London Drugs locations in BC and Alberta.
And I think autism affects many, many people, both either directly or indirectly with family members. And I think it's important for us to be able to take a leadership role within the community.
Both, we had one woman buy 10 of these for teachers and support workers.
Carrie, Patricia, and Debbie are hoping to raise $20,000.
A lot of work.
Lots of work.
But worth it.
Yeah. Definitely.
100%.
A gift to the center and ultimately to the estimated 56,000 British Columbians living with autism. Catherine Urquhart, Global News.
The moms say they're planning to update the designs, make a different piece of jewelry next year, which will also benefit the Pacific Autism Family Center. And a reminder, if you'd like one, you can pick one up at London Drugs.
So there you go. That's the article that was on Global News. Thank you very much to Debbie Sue, who was on last week's show and talked a lot about the fundraiser on the these necklaces and the Canucks, or not the Canucks, the mother with the autism children. Anyway, so you are tuned into the Community Living Show. Of course, my name's Kelly, and along with me is Michael. And so anyway, so you have any stuff that you wanted to share and share today?
Well, I just want to say congratulations to those guys, you know, for a successful launch. Mm-hmm. I think they're, as fundraisers, they're going to do really well, you know.
They will.
So, yeah. So, yeah. So I didn't have any other clips today.
Oh, okay.
No.
Ow.
So,
I got some stuff, but I'm just going through it. I thought you might have something to share about while I do a clip or a short clip or something.
Well, one thing I have been doing, because one of the things that one of the things that's close to my heart, of course, is chronic pain, and that's simply because myself, I have chronic pain. So one of the things I've been doing a lot of research into is there's a lot of talk about magnesium and how that can be used to control chronic pain, and one of the things that do what I'm finding out is one of the best ways to get it into your system is actually through the skin. Mm. So one of our future guests is going to actually speak on that a little further about the use of Epsom salt or magnesium salt to help curb chronic pain. So that should be a pretty interesting interview. So I'm hoping to have them in next week to speak about that.
All right.
Yeah.
So I've got a little article that is about 4 minutes, and it's on Deaf Community Services. It's about Leadership Workshop of 2016. This was published on January 22nd, 2016 on YouTube. So it's all about Leadership Workshop of 2016. Of course, I was making sure that I got a chance to hear it because some of these Deaf Community Services only does the, what I can say is more sign language for it on display television than it would be on radio, so it would be hard to hear it. So.
Yeah.
So here we go. So it's about 4 minutes on Leadership Workshop for 2016.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jim Crane, and I am the chair of the DCS board. I have some exciting news. DCS has implemented a leadership lecture series. What is this? The leadership lecture series will be made of leadership workshops that will be held once a month throughout the year. This series will be provided by various deaf presenters that will focus on different topics under the umbrella of leadership. This will include activities that will allow participants to practice and apply the concepts learned within the workshop. Topics will range from self-advocacy to self-management, ethics, and communication skills. Our span of innovative leadership workshops will give you the tools you need to be successful. Our experienced presenters will come from different backgrounds and have in-depth knowledge about a specific topic related to leadership. This workshop will allow you to apply these principles in everyday leadership situations and will help participants become more effective leaders at DCS and within our community at large. Our goal is to challenge you, hone your leadership skills, and motivate you to make a difference in our community. I am pleased to announce that our first presenter will be Andrew Phillips. The topic of this month is self-help and advocacy, and Andrew Phillips will be presenting on how you can use the system to create policy change. This presentation will focus on how everyday people within our community can promote policy change using tools and avenues available to the public. Such strategies will include filing complaints with federal agencies, submitting comments on proposed federal rules, such as for VRS and closed captioning, reaching out to representatives on issues that are important to you, and using the court system to enforce or expand on your rights. Phillips' presentation will draw on his 4 years of experience working as the policy counsel at the National Association of the Deaf, where he was a leader in efforts to change federal disability policy. The first workshop will be held on February 25th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., and it will be hosted here at the DCS Community Room. The Leadership Lecture Series will be free and open to anyone who is interested in improving their leadership skills. Refreshments will be provided. Again, this Leadership Lecture Series will be provided once a month. We will continuously keep you updated. Please register by calling the front desk at video phone 619-550-3436 or by emailing Stacy Bradford at sbradford@dcsofsd.org if you will be attending on February 25th or if you have any questions. Remember, effective leaders recognize that the processes, steps, and methods of leadership are achieved with and through people. Together, we can succeed in anything we endeavor. I hope to see you all there.
And of course, that's happening in the States, February 25th. That's in San Diego, over there in Deaf Community Services. Hosted by DCS Community Room, of course. Again, that's the Deaf Community Services. That's happening in San Diego. They have their offices over there. You can contact them by website, Deaf, D-E-A-F, communityservices.org.
Cool.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
This one is, I believe it's in French, but it's all part of the Heart and Stroke Foundation. You've heard most of the Heart and Stroke Foundation, but this one's all in French. It's about a minute and 27 seconds, so a little French, so here we go.
La recherche est fondamentale pour tous les aspects de la médecine. L'un des problèmes avec les maladies du cœur est que nous ne sommes pas en mesure de les prévenir totalement. De plus en plus de personnes survivent aux maladies du cœur, ce qui implique par contre qu'elles ont un muscle endommagé et peuvent souffrir d'insuffisance cardiaque. Contrairement à la médecine traditionnelle qui prescrit une médication afin de gérer la maladie, la médecine régénérative utilise les cellules et tissus du corps afin de rétablir la fonction d'un organe. En d'autres mots, nous sommes en mesure de miser sur la capacité du corps à se soigner lui-même. Nous croyons que cette approche est très prometteuse pour l'avenir. Le financement offert par la Fondation des maladies du cœur et de l'AVC a mené à plusieurs autres avancées importantes en recherche cardiovasculaire. Nous voulons aussi nous assurer de laisser un héritage important à nos enfants dont ceux-ci pourront bénéficier au cours des 10, 15 ou 20 prochaines années grâce au soutien de la recherche aujourd'hui.
And of course, that's the francophone version of the Heart and Stroke Foundation. I know Larnine's is here, so she probably will understand all of that as well. So there you go. That's the advertisement that was on the Heart and Stroke. I know there's probably an English version of it, but
yeah,
it's a very good supportive, anyways, on the Heart and Stroke Foundation, right?
Yeah.
So that's that one. And I got some more other stuff. I've got lots of stuff from Ricky Shetty, but most of Ricky Shetty's are more like family stuff, so yeah. I won't get into that kind of stuff. But anyways, lots of things here on Community Living Radio Show. And of course, if you do want to email us, you can email us through email, communitylivingradio@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. You can also Twitter us at @CLivingRadio, and on Facebook, Community Living Radio Show, I believe.
Yes.
So
that is correct.
Those are the contacts you can contact on as well. So many Autism Speaks, but we talked a lot about on Autism Speaks. Am I right or am I right? So I wanna pass on that. Also wanna talk about some stuff from the blind as well. So this one is about the National Non-Smoking Week, smoking in your eyes. It's all about vision. People with blind people from CNIB.
Yeah.
So let's take a look at that. It's about 2 minutes.
Let's go ahead and see what that one's about.
Yeah. So it's National Non-Smoking Week. That was published on January 20th. CNIB's Keith Gordon talks about the importance of quitting smoking for your eyes.
Since we're only a couple of weeks into the new year and many people are making New Year's resolutions, I thought I'd like to encourage people to make a New Year's resolution to quit smoking. Smoking is associated with the three major blindness-causing eye diseases: macular degeneration, cataracts, and diabetic retinopathy. Macular degeneration is the leading cause of blindness in Canada. It results from the loss of central vision, the vision that we need to do close-up work. People who smoke have four times the risk of developing macular degeneration than people who don't smoke. There is good news in this story, though. If you quit smoking, the risk of developing vision loss can decrease over time. The second blindness-causing eye disease that is associated with smoking is cataracts. People who smoke have 2 to 3 times the risk of developing cataracts than people who do not smoke. The good news in this story is that there is surgical treatment for cataracts that are highly effective. The problem is, who wants to have surgery if you don't have to have it? The third major cause of blindness is associated with diabetes. It's called diabetic retinopathy. Diabetic retinopathy is the major complication associated with diabetes, and diabetes in turn is associated with smoking. So if we can quit smoking, we can decrease the risk of developing diabetes, and in turn we can decrease the risk of developing vision loss due to diabetic retinopathy.
So these are small clips that were sent to us from CNIB. So it's very important information on their behalf, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Macular degeneration. It's like you have like freckles appear on in front of your eye,
mm-hmm.
and it blocks the vision.
Mm-hmm. It clogs in the vision.
Yeah.
And it not only includes cancer in your lungs, but it also damages everything for your whole body.
Yeah. So
in general.
So that's really important knowledge about the macular degeneration, that smoking can be linked to it. Mm-hmm. So, the loss of vision is, it's really rough.
It is very tough.
Yeah, so
very tough. Others in the news, I'm just looking here at the opportunities of what we would like to look up for, but those are very important informations to talk about in general. So, and if you can also go to their website as well, CNIB website, I believe it's cnib.ca, and there you can find some more tips and information on some things. Here's one on CNIB's bold new path to change.
In a conference room, Jane Beaumont, chair of the CNIB National Board of Directors, introduces John Rafferty. John Rafferty sits at a head table with three others. He's introduced and prepares to give his speech to the audience. John Rafferty approaches the podium.
Thank you, everybody, and good afternoon. Bonjour tout le monde, and bon après-midi. Thank you, Jane, very much for your words. Before I get started, I would like to start by taking a moment to express my gratitude to Jane for her invaluable contributions to the Board of Directors over the last 3 years as the chair. As she said herself, it's her last year in the position, and though she's going to continue to serve as our immediate past chair and a board member, she's been a great asset during this period to our organization. She's led the senior volunteer team with wisdom, passion, and endless dedication. And she's also had a profound impact. She touched on a number of things, but her involvement in many key projects, from the development of the strategic plan that I'm going to talk about today, to the advancements that we've made in our efforts to ensure that equitable library services are available to all Canadians with print disabilities. So we've been truly fortunate, as we are with many of our senior volunteers, to have had Jane as our board chair, and on behalf of the entire team and everybody that we serve, we'd like to say thank you to Jane for your extraordinary service. Thank you. Jane will be succeeded in the position by the chair-elect, John Matheson, sitting to her left. And John has been serving CNIB also in various senior roles for the last decade or so, and has been a member of our National Board of Directors since 2010.
The camera pans right to show John Matheson sitting at the head table.
I'm going to read the next line because it says, John comes to the world from the world of finance with more than 50 years of leadership experience. But we discussed that was okay to say. So while he comes...
The camera pans back left to show John Rafferty at the podium.
He also really brings a very keen sense of strategic and financial management, but always from a position of dedication to furthering our cause. So I look forward to welcoming him to the new appointment as board chair this afternoon. So as Jane said, we're extremely proud today to be launching the new strategic plan here in Regina called The Path to Change. In many ways, it represents an historic step forward for CNIB and those we serve. It is bold, it is ambitious, and it calls for many significant changes, not only to the way we at CNIB work, but to the way all Canadians perceive, treat, and include our fellow citizens who are blind or partially sighted within our society. We've created it because in the year 2014, there is still a fundamental divide between the rights and opportunities afforded to sighted Canadians and those afforded to Canadians who are living with blindness or a serious loss of sight. When we were founded, as Jane said, back in 1918, Canada was a very different place. At that time, a person living with blindness was almost certainly destined for a life of poverty. It was a time when ignorance about blindness was rampant and prejudice held sway. Technology was non-existent, universal health care was a distant dream, and Canadians who were blind were falling through the cracks by the thousands. So when CNIB started and began serving Canada's blind and partially sighted community in the early days, we were not only a critical source of support for that community, but we were the only organized source to speak of in the country. It has now been 96 years since our founding, and Canada has changed dramatically over that time. Our country now has a robust healthcare and social service system that supports people with any number of conditions that require rehabilitation. That system serves as a model for success the world over. Yet still, after almost a century, and for all the changes our country has undergone, Canadians who are blind or partially sighted still rely on CNIB, a charity, for the rehabilitation therapy. Many of the services we provide are crucial to basic independence. For instance, we teach Canadians who are blind or partially sighted the mobility skills necessary to travel safely in their communities. Imagine having to cross a busy intersection for the first time without sight. Imagine how daunting it is to hear the cars pass by, horns honking in the distance as you take the first steps into the street. Or imagine trying to navigate a bustling public transit system without being able to see any of the maps or signs along the way, trying to find the right bus, figuring out where to get on or get off. Getting around without vision is not intuitive. It doesn't simply come to people by nature. It's a skill that takes many hours of intensive training, and it takes many years of practice to fully master. So too are the skills involved in living safely at home, which we also teach at CNIB. Even simple tasks that most people take for granted can take a great deal of skill and training to accomplish. Things as simple as pouring a cup of coffee without scalding yourself, preparing meals, doing household chores, and doing all of this while maintaining safety. Un tel savoir-faire constitue le fondement de l'autonomie, de la mobilité et de la sécurité personnelle, un droit fondamental pour tous les Canadiens. These skills are the foundation of independence for all people. They are the cornerstones of mobility and personal safety, which are fundamental rights for all Canadians.
And we're going to leave it there. So again, the website again for YouTube, search word CNIB, CNIB's Bold to New Path to Change. And you can speak to the listen to more of the speech from the president and CEO John F. Murphy, who speaks out to the path of change in Regina. But what did you find anything interesting on onto it?
You know, just how we actually live in the world as human beings, sight is very important.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and speaking of sight, we have Peter Bourne.
Yes.
Who is totally blind, and we're going to play one of his songs in a moment, a song called We Shall Overcome. But anyways, I'll be away next week. You'll be on the table next week while I'm away. So any new projects that are coming up?
No real new projects coming up. But there's some prospects along the way.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
All right. We'll see you all next week. I won't be here. So take care, everybody.
All right.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday. Together, black and white together, black and white together. Oh, deep in my heart, and I do believe we shall. We are not afraid. We are not.